We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us, Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo with you. Kudos to whoever put that open together.
Awesome.
As we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Was that Jer-Bear?
That's Jer-Bear.
Jer-Bear getting it. We are Phenomenal. Excited because the NBA is ready to roll. Football is opening up facilities to coaches. The NHL has a plan. MLS avoided a lockout. And baseball isn't doing dip.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa. With a P.
Smokes.
I mean, why even flirt with it?
Well, hey, listen. He has said some very interesting things on air.
No,
to enunciate. Please don't do it. Not today.
Say not today.
Stay you, baseball. Yeah. Way to mess it up for everybody. So go do your own thing. When you figure it out, get back to us. I am done with you.
Listen.
We got so much other good stuff to talk about.
On the backdrop of obviously what's going on around the nation, that has obviously filtered into the sporting world as well that we'll get into. There is a lot of steam and momentum going forward. And that's not what is making me feel like we're kind of turning the corner. You know what it is today?
Yeah. I know what this is.
I don't.
It's National Donut Day.
Oh, there you go.
Listen, I mean, we are about at the midway point of one of the worst years ever.
Yeah.
And what better way to kind of kick off the second half of the year than my wife, Chris, is about to go out, venture out, and get donuts. Donuts will be on this set very soon, and that's the way I want to kick off the second half of this year.
You know, I have some very bad news for you.
What's that?
Because you know I stop at Dunkin' every day to get a little breakfast.
Yeah.
They asked me today, would you like a free donut? And I said no.
That's okay, because we're going to get donuts, a little different spot. Oh, it's going to be lit here pretty
soon. Trust me, Trey, we wouldn't be the Golics if we were reliant on you to be
exactly
the one providing the donuts.
Hey, we're like, donut family. Let's rely on Trey to get our donuts.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I don't mean to slight you, but
I got it.
We do this. And it is a good sign, because arbitrary holidays, which we know occur all through the calendar year, we don't know where they come from. They celebrate pretty much everything from paintbrushes to donuts for some reason. They have taken a big back seat this year, and so the resurgence of something like this might be some of the first signs of a return to normal.
I'm ready. Donuts are in our blood. That's why I take medication, and we move on.
Well, you know, that's accurate.
Yeah.
So
donuts, type 2 diabetes.
Well, what could possibly be the
tomato? Tomato.
We'll get to the donuts when they arrive a little bit later, but we do have a formal plan in place. It was approved 29-1 with the Portland Trailblazers being the one team that, but they did vote no, but not for the reasons that you'd think, which we can get into a little bit later.
Yeah,
we won.
Sure. Yeah. 29-1.
We got a plan, and there's a lot to unpack in this plan, because it's going to happen pretty quickly. And it's going to be coming at us pretty damn fast, Junior.
Yeah, and I think that's the concern in a lot of this. So what we're going to have coming back is the league approved the 22-team format for this season in July 31st, starting in Orlando, Florida, down at Disney World and ESPN's Wide World of Sports. So in this one now, the NBA Players Association has been working closely with this. They got a conference call set up for today to approve that proposal.
We assume that's going to be a rubber stamp at this point.
So essentially it'd be 13 Western Conference teams and 9 Eastern Conference teams, and they'll play 8 regular season seeding games going into this one. Then it gets into the whole thing of the play-in tournament that could potentially happen with this. If the 9 seed gets within 4 games of the 8 seed, then they would play a 2-game playoff where the 9 seed would have to win 2 of those games versus the 8 seed only having to win 1 of those games.
Does this sound like the NCAA's first round games?
Oh, yeah.
It's whatever it is. It's not a play-in game. It's the start, whatever they want to call it.
You know what this whole thing sounds like? Because I was involved in it for a while with Jake, is AAU basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, where you
could... Well, they were in probably gyms they'll be playing.
Exactly,
and that's a very apt analogy.
So as Mike stated, if the 9th seed is within 4 games of the 8th seed, they play 2 games. 9th has to win them both. And I would imagine if there is a 9th and 10th seed who are tied, they would probably have to play before that play-in game. I'm just supposing, because there could be a couple of teams that are within 4 games. So, but tied. If one is three and one is four, obviously the three back would go. So, but there, but they certainly had the plan for the play-in, and then you get your top eight seeds, and then off you go.
I mean, there's a lot that's going to be going on. The regular season will extend to 16 days with 5 to 6 games per day. There'll be 4 hours between games on each individual court. I think there's three courts that they're using.
Three courts for this.
Yeah, cleanup and warm-ups. In the eight-game regular season format, each team is expected to play one back-to-back. The NBA is expected to be aggressive in moving up the dates to start the playoff series, and the NBA Finals format is expected to include games every other day. If nothing else, I'm excited about that because you know how it goes for television. We understand.
Oh, and travel.
And all that travel. Like, game one in a city we played on a Thursday. Game two was like Monday of the next day.
It was horrible. Now you're getting it every other day. I mean, I hope maybe down the road you get a real change. Now, you do have travel then and stuff, so it's never going to be all that, right?
It would be difficult to do that, but what I will say comes next now is, all right, we've got some of those logistics played out in a lot of this. The concern is, it is all happening really fast,
like we
mentioned.
Yep.
And the concern is we have had a lot of players sitting around for a long time. Now, it's not to say they haven't been working out.
Right,
it's not to say they haven't been being in shape. We know the NBA facilities have opened to start to accommodate some of these workouts. But injury is going to be one of those things that's an outlier and a concern, and that's even removing the virus portion of things.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the expectation is players doing stuff on their own. Now, early on in this quarantine, there was a lot less movement. There's been a lot more going on, and there is going to be some of the onus on the players. What kind of shape have you kept yourself in? We've also, for the last couple of weeks, some facilities have been open where they could go in a few players at a time to start to do some basketball things. There's going to be, obviously, a training camp type atmosphere for a while, because remember, this doesn't start until the end of July. So you're talking about all players, I believe. I think it was going in together. You go to your facility first around the country. Everybody goes to their facility first and has some workouts, I believe. And then I think they all fly down. I believe the date was July 7th, right in that area there where all the teams fly down to Orlando. And then they have, you know, about a 3-week training camp, all practicing and helping to get ready and get in basketball shape for that season to start on July 1st.
Right. So, again, a lot of moving parts and a lot of logistics crammed into a very short period of time. So, Zach Lowe was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt last night, and here's what he had to say, which is what he believes the most important thing about the NBA's return.
The most substantive one is obviously the health, but you talk to the sports science people, and they're obviously worried about the virus. The whole world is worried about the virus. They're just as, if not more, worried about what happens when these guys who have had essentially longer than a full offseason, mostly cooped up in their own homes, come and hit the ground running? Are we going to see a spike in injuries? Is it going to be, I mean, people are worried if the stars get hurt here, is that going to affect next season? So that's the substantive one.
And I think that's interesting, right?
It is interesting. It is a risk, but I think it's a risk everybody is willing to take because they want to get back and they want to play. But there are going to be tentacles from this, probably some we haven't even thought of yet, that are going to pop up and say, oh, you know, maybe we didn't see that coming, because it's impossible to cover every single angle of what can happen in a scenario you've never done before.
Yeah, and the difference here is, because we talked about this before, the injury bug happened last year in the finals. Kevin Durant,
right?
Klay Thompson, it dramatically changed the finals. You can't dispute that. But the difference is, if this happens in this year's final in late September or early October, and then the season's supposed to start December 1st, then you're bleeding into next season without a full offseason, and that's more problematic.
Yeah, it's more problematic, and it just might be more prone, right? The NBA had done all this research about the effect of playing 5 games in 6 days, playing back-to-backs, you know, multiple nights on road trips, all these things that increase the wear and tear and make guys more likely for injury. There's no manual on this. But we know we're going to stress these guys' bodies in very different ways. Now, it won't be by travel and a lot of the things that go along with it normally, but it's going to be playing a lot of games in a short amount of time in an environment you're not used to, with all the accoutrements that usually go with your facilities and what you've got that are going to be very different. So it's going to be very interesting to see how at risk these guys are for just your normal basketball injuries.
Accoutrement? Let's not just throw that out there and not recognize.
Well, let's do it. It's just,
that was, Chimenefique.
So we're about ready to go there with thoughts, obviously, of next year with the quick turnaround of start of December 1st and training camps in November. So that's an issue that even Michelle Roberts, who runs the Players Union, was even surprised at. Remember, they have a call today to approve this format, but this format may all be including training camp in November and the start in early December.
Yeah, and Michelle Roberts is like, wait, we didn't discuss that part of it. So that could be something going forward. So again, there's a lot of things to unpack in this plan, including something NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said yesterday that he has already sort of had to walk back about how the NBA is going to return and some of the procedures will be in place.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Golden Wingo here with you on a Friday. Hope your Friday's off to a good start as we continue to sort of find our way back to some sense of normalcy in the sports world, with still so many outpourings of reactions and protests with what's going on and the killing of George Floyd last 10 days ago.
His memorial service was yesterday.
I thought one really cool thing out of all of this, there was a bunch of people in Minneapolis last night singing Purple Rain on the streets, which was really...
And a cool move by the Vikings. I know they stopped a lot of their team activities yesterday so that guys would have time. They went over to the Vikings facility and then walked to George Floyd's memorial service. From there, some guys on the team sent video messages along with that. So a pretty strong showing of support from the team in that area and a lot of guys that were certainly deeply affected by this.
Listen, that's what certainly we have been talking about and a lot of people have been talking about is we're in the 11th day now, and then there's going to be the 12th day, and then 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks, and a month is what continues to come of this and to keep this going and not just let it fall by the wayside like things have in the past.
Yeah, just keep the message going forward more than anything else. And we'll talk in a little bit later and play something for you that some NFL players did that I thought was really powerful in the way they put something together. We'll get to that a little bit later. But as we said off the top of the show here, the NBA has their plan. It's supposed to be approved today without an issue by the NBA Players Association, and the NBA teams chasing a playoff spot are hoping they can quickly get in the zone. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. So there was a lot of things, as we said, that Adam Silver sort of explained in this proposal that was approved 29-1. But one thing that was interesting was obviously we're doing this because of the pandemic that has swept across the country and shut down sports on March 11th, the concerns about the coronavirus. And we all know that according to everything that we've learned, if you are past a certain age, you are likely to be more susceptible to the virus, even if you are relatively healthy. And this is what NBA Commissioner Adam Silver had to say on TNT last night about some elder coaches and things that at the time he thought they may have to do.
But there are also people involved in this league, particularly some of the coaches who are obviously older people. And we also know people at any age who have underlying conditions are more vulnerable. So we're going to have to work through protocols, and it may be, for example, certain coaches may not be able to be the bench coach. They may have to retain social distancing protocols, and maybe they can be in the front of a room, a locker room or a ballroom with a whiteboard. But when it comes to actual play, we're not going to want them that close to players in order to protect them. So those are all issues we're continuing to work through.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Alvin Gentry, by the way, one of those older coaches at 65, and he basically said, bleep that.
Listen, Alvin Gentry, Mike D'Antoni, he's 69.
Yeah.
Gentry is 65.
Pop is in his 70s.
Yeah, so, I mean, these guys are like, wait a minute, don't old shame us, man. No way.
Yeah, but listen, I get it.
But Gentry's like, how can I be? I can't do that. I can't be the head coach.
How much are they really doing anyway?
Rick Carlisle.
these teams, it's like planes. These teams basically coach themselves.
Are you going down the Dan Levitard road?
It's more
coaches?
The AAU tournament rule. Just roll off the ball to your best player and let him go, right?
I mean, for the love of God, Steve Kerr had Draymond Green and them coaching half the time anyway.
Rick Carlisle, who is the president of the NBA Coach Association, I love he threw some old man shade back, you know, at the, by saying, hey, there's some 60 or 70 year olds in this league that could be, that are healthier than some of the 30 and 40 year old coaches. So this got basically dropped that part of it. Adam Silver even said that, you know, he may have, you know, overstepped a little bit here, gone a little too far with that. But there is talk, will they have to possibly wear
masks
on the sideline, which I think that would be difficult because you see him yelling and coaching to understand.
I think
that
the players would love that.
Yeah, I think they would too. Hey, just go ahead and sit down.
I just have this in my head. Yeah. Pop as Bane, you know, with the mask. That's the only thing I'm thinking of in this now.
But basically the coaches did it in a very nice way with, I'm sure, behind closed doors. They were like, no, man, don't old shame us, man. But listen, you understand.
Of course. You
have to cover every side of this. And Adam Silver is just thinking about the segment of the population that we have seen around the world that has been hit hard and we've lost the most lives. And it is the people of that age, 60 there and older. So I get the intent, but as he said, he may have gone a little too far with saying you can't be on the bench. And of course, all those coaches are like, no, we signed up for this. We're fine. We understand the risks. And we're still ready to go. These are our teams and we're going to coach them. So, but I get it. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sit here and rip Adam Silver and say, oh man, that was a bad move. We are all in uncharted territory right now. You're trying to think of every scenario with safety being the key thing here. And that was one of the thoughts that got pushed aside pretty quickly as far as coaches not being on the bench.
So that's one way they're trying to deal with what happens, with the virus. The other thing is, they don't foresee an issue if a player tests positive in terms of shutting things down. According to the article that's on .com, if a player tests positive for the virus, the league's intent would be to remove that player from the team, to quarantine and receive treatment individually and continue to test other team members as they play on, sources said. So what we're talking about here is if the teams that make it to the NBA Finals, they're basically going to be in Orlando in a bubble environment for upwards of 3 months. It's a long time.
Campus.
And
yes,
I'll continue to say, we'll have obviously more discussion about this. We always see this scenario for one, don't we?
Yeah.
For one. What about multiple? Obviously, from the college ranks, which we're going to get into a little bit of that, they're already dealing with the multiple part. Now, I know they're dealing with a lot more people as well, but we always have the guidelines for one. What if it's two? What if it's three?
Well, and
then what?
The idea is always, what's the number that triggers a real shutdown?
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, the hope is we won't ever find that out, right? That's the hope. We won't ever find that out.
We hope not. What's interesting, and we'll get into this later, is what we hope happens with next season, because that is weighing heavily on the minds of a lot of teams in the course of this.
Yeah. And again, Michelle Roberts, who's done a great job, and the partnership between the players and the owners in the NBA has been a big reason why this thing was come together. The only thing she is not okay with at this point is the start of next season thing. And that's going to be a bone of contention going forward. And you wonder if that part may be something that would hold up the vote today by them. You know, you hope not, but I think that part still needs to be worked out.
Yeah.
Speaking of things worked out, there's still a lot of things to be worked out between Drew Brees and his teammates.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic and Wingo with you on a Friday morning. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and the fallout and the apologies continue for Drew Brees. Again, after making the statements and not understanding in any way, shape, or form what the protests have been about, on that Zoom conference call with the folks from Yahoo Finance, he has apologize on multiple levels.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. In fact, here is the latest Drew Brees apology, something he put out on Instagram yesterday.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
So again, it's out there now, and everyone's going to have to digest it and come to terms with what they think they heard and what they believe in this situation.
This is what we do. We break down statements, and then we break down apologies, right? We grade
them. Twice
now. Yes, exactly. And my thought on this one, because we all gave our, you know, he gave his opinion. We thought we gave what we our opinion on what we thought of his. But at this point, the only, in my thought, the only people that matter are his teammates. And not only his teammates, because we heard in the rejoin there someone say that's the people he has to make good to. But also the people in New Orleans, the area there, because he is very visible. He has done a ton.
He has.
In that area. He absolutely has. And he's been out visible in the area out there. So not only his teammates, of which you have heard from some now, Michael Thomas, who tweeted against him and now said, hey,
we're
all
good.
Cool. Alvin Kamara, same way. Tron Armstead, the guy that protects him, his left tackle, you know, all good. He gave an apology. We heard his teammate, the linebacker, was it DeMario Davis on CNN yesterday, saying he gave the apology, all good. So that's who he has to be talking to, that and the community at large there that he deals with in New Orleans. And if they're good with it, you know, that's all that matters, because that's at the end of the day, that's it. Because there are still people that don't buy it. There are still people that are, you know, listening to apology, and you'll hear some of it that aren't having it. But to the people he has to go deal, work with every day and try and help in the community that he has been doing for years there, those are the ones that if they can all say, okay, all is cool, let's start to go forward in a constructive way.
Yeah, and this is the difference. Like, to the rest of us, Drew Brees is a public figure, right?
Yeah.
Drew Brees is someone whose actions we see all the time, but we understand we don't know the person that's inside there, and that holds true for all of these athletes. We get instances, we get the parts that we can see or want to see or that they want us to see. And so when they get knocked off a perch like this, the fall is a little harder and the climb back up from a public perspective might be a little bit more. Now, he again has the sports caveat where as long as Drew Brees and the Saints go out and win a bunch, this is going to get a lot better for him. But in this instance with his teammates, I have a feeling that fall wasn't maybe as hard and the rebound back is a bit easier when you've got someone you're going to be around every day. And so the show, not the tell, because the tell is easy. These statements and apologies are easy because you've got all the ammo and information you could ever want to put in a statement. The tell is going to be, if you're a teammate of Drew Brees's, I came into this loving you, or at the very least having a certain amount of respect for you based on what we'd done before. You get a chance now to show me every day after that conversation and team meeting we had yesterday wasn't just kumbaya, put a lid on this and be done with this. It may not be Drew Brees' true feelings on this or anything, but if he can show them change, incremental change along these days, if he supports more of what these guys have been doing, and that's not to say he hasn't been. We had Nate Boyer on who said Drew has been doing a lot for the black community in particular at times down in New Orleans. But if he can continue to string those together, then you've got a team that, in addition to, all right, being able to maybe forgive easier because they know better in this situation going forward, can then point to and say, because it's already being held up as, look at this, it shows that he can change. Well, they're going to have to show us, because the rest of us on the outside don't get to see all those day-to-day interactions. So the only way we're going to know hey, this has changed and it got better is if we see those examples, if it's pointed out, if there's transparency when it comes up, and they don't owe us that, but I think it's something that now going forward we're going to see is going to kind of become more of the norm, is keeping the conversation going by making sure we're acknowledging when these things happen.
All of this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And look, people are going to have different opinions about this because we haven't heard from Malcolm Jenkins yet.
I was just checking the Twitter feed now, and yeah. Unless I'm doing it wrong, which could be quite possible.
That's a large possibility.
I have not seen anything yet from Malcolm Jenkins.
Because Malcolm was the one that was most passionate about that.
And Malcolm is also one of the leaders in the Players Coalition.
Yes,
like, that
is.
Was always the other part of this for me is you look at everyone's stressors in a lot of this, and Malcolm Jenkins has a lot of people that look to him for leadership and look to him, especially in this particular area. What's going on here? Because he has been a part of that Players Coalition, and so at times it might feel to him like he speaks for more than just Malcolm Jenkins.
Golic & Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance, and then there are former players. Of one we'll have on a little later, Deuce McAllister, I believe at 9:30 Eastern, played for the Saints and is now the radio analyst for the Saints as well. And Joe Horn was on a Spain and Company last night talking about forgiving Drew Brees.
If you believe that the God that you serve is a forgiving God, why shouldn't you forgive Drew Brees after he apologized? Unless the God that you serve is different from Drew Brees.
Well, let me tell you this. I serve a God, Joe.
Drew Brees apologized and he said he's sorry.
No.
I said what I said. Why shouldn't you forgive him if God forgives you?
Joe, that's not this. That's the easy way out to simply just say God forgives.
And so, I don't know. I look at this situation.
That was Jordan Cornette, by the way, with Spain and Company.
Yeah, so it was Joe Horn and Jordan Cornette having a bit of a back and forth there.
In fact, we have some more, and Jordan went on to explain in larger detail why he doesn't accept Brees' apology.
I see Drew Brees for who he is. I've given him enough passes. I don't care if he takes a knee the first game of the season next year. I know the dialogue that he's having behind closed doors. He can do whatever he wants so he can walk back into a predominantly black locker room, so he can return to being the cultural icon in a predominantly black city, but I ain't going for it. He already showed me who he is, and that ain't going to change.
And that's the reality of the situation for Drew, right? I mean, you cannot fault somebody for having that opinion if that's the way they interpret what they heard from Drew and how they perceive him anyway in some other things. So that's going to be the hard part. Now, if you're your teammates and you guys are going to be in a close proximity together pushing together for a common goal, I think the sliding scale of being able to accept that apology might be a little stronger.
I think so. Listen, I found the way Drew went about this troubling because it ignored basically everything that was going on outside of his own world.
Right.
And to me, that was mind-blowing in a lot of ways in this. Going forward with this, completely understand Jordan because, again, our perspective on the outside of all this. The one thing I will say, and this is not to insinuate that Jordan was saying the opposite, but I'm going to give his teammates some credit on this and say that in addition to knowing Drew Brees, these are also smart guys, meaning they're not going to have the wool pulled over their eyes. They're going to see this. They heard those comments. It resonated with them. So the answers they get, like, you can spot a fake. Like, these guys are around. It's like we always say with radio. If you're trying to be somebody else over the course of 4 hours every day, eventually you're going to get found out. These guys spend an ungodly amount of time all together. They've got a lot of shared experience. And so if they think that Drew is not going to be genuine with this going forward, I'd have to imagine at some point they're going to smell that out, and that's not going to be okay. So I want to give the credit to the guys on this team to believe that they believe enough and they know enough and see enough to say, all right, we're going to hold this person accountable in this situation because we know we didn't like what we heard and the thoughts that come with that.
Right. All of this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And one of the hard parts for everybody in the Saints team is basically they won't be together until training camp begins, we believe. I mean, if training camps are going to start on time in the NFL. And that's going to be the interesting part of this because really you can have, as you said yesterday, Mike, you can get somebody on the phone or do a virtual discussion, but being together in the room in the same time is a different feeling and a different dynamic. And you feel like that's going to be the most important thing when this team does get together. And that's unfortunate for both sides
because that's
on pause right now.
But it does seem like it is going toward that direction. Again, we have not heard yet from Malcolm Jenkins, but it looks like they're working all of that out there. And that's for a guy who's walking into the Hall of Fame and been around and has a reputation and such. There's another guy in the NFL who's just starting his career as a quarterback in Buffalo. And I don't mean Josh Allen, though there is a little bit of correlation there. That's Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm, a rookie quarterback for the Bills, taken to what, the fourth round?
Yep.
I believe it was. And this just happened last year, and this has now come out, that he made some comments when he was talking with his friend about the purchasing of guns. And basically part of that was, but no guns are good. They need to let me get suppressors. Then he added, just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them. And then, you know, did the laugh afterward about it. And so that came out, and he has apologized for it, saying he was obviously wrong in saying that. And why, when I said it wasn't Josh Allen, it was Jake Fromm. Remember Josh Allen on draft night, and he was a seventh overall pick a few years ago. There were some tweets that came out when he was in high school that were racially motivated tweets.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people thought, okay, what – and he is, listen, he is their starting quarterback. He's one of the leaders on their team. And again, that was in high school and seemed to all be forgiven there. Jake Fromm, this happened just last year. He's not a first round pick. He's a fourth rounder. We always say the more the talent, the longer the leash. There are those that are saying, should the Bills just cut Jake Fromm right now and make a statement that says, we're not putting up with anything like this anymore. And do we just get rid of him?
Yeah. Here's what the Bills said in a statement earlier today, meaning yesterday. We became aware of comments made in a text message involving Jake in 2019. He was wrong. He admitted it to us. We don't condone what he said. Jake was honest and forthcoming to us about the text exchange. He asked for an opportunity to address and apologize to his teammates and coaches today in a team meeting, which he did. We will continue to work with Jake on the responsibilities of being a Buffalo Bill on and off the field. Defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, an African-American who's been a head coach in this league, said he expects team leaders to reach out to Fromm and work with him. Frazier added, Jake seemed very sincere in his apology. We have a very strong culture on our team. Those guys are going to be able to sift through what is real and what isn't real. So you're right. Some people, including our own Myron Metcalf, have said they should cut him right now. It doesn't seem like the Bills at this point are going to go down that road. But that doesn't mean everybody's okay with it, including one of his former players at Georgia, Terry Godwin, now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, said, quote, he's lost all respect for Fromm in a tweet saying, this is showing everybody's true side, even from a guy like Drew Brees and Georgia's very own Jake Fromm. I've lost all respect for both of these people. And that's the backlash that they're going to have to deal with.
Well, so, and this is really interesting and really important, because I don't think Jake Fromm's going to lose his job.
I don't either.
And part of that is, because of what you mentioned with Josh Allen, the difficulty was, Josh Allen was the seventh overall pick. Josh Allen was going to have to come in, stand up in front of that room as a guy that was going to start football games and supposedly lead that team with that as the backdrop. And so we knew this is something you had to address right away. Jake Fromm's going to be holding the clipboard. Like, that's going to be Jake Fromm's lot in life in this. And so I think the impetus to move on in that regard might not be there because, all right, we don't have to expect as much from him in that role. But it's interesting. Like, the idea of a text conversation being released is weirdly invasive to me, but it's a reminder. Drew said these things in public, and there was a lot of backlash. And certainly, addressing the way that we all speak about things in public and what our views are that lead to that is important. This is one of those things that, as we have all these conversations going forward, is just as important. Like, the way that you operate in your day-to-day, the conversations that you have in private, like, that is a big area to see change. Like, if you're still saying these things behind closed doors, you're not really changing your thought process on Musk. So let this be a good lesson that this is actually, like, for Drew, we'll see it all publicly. It'll play out. But for Jake Fromm, there's work to be done behind closed doors here that I'm sure is going to get addressed in some way, shape, or form by his teammates.
To what you just said there, and to kind of wrap this up before we go to a college situation that happened yesterday, you talked about one of Jake's former teammates not buying it. Well, how about a guy pretty established in the league? And, oh, by the way, a guy the Jets play the Bills twice a year, though this guy won't be playing against Fromm because, as you said, he'll be holding the clipboard unless there's an injury. Jets safety Jamal Adams, he tweeted this about both Jake Fromm and Drew. You and Drew aren't really sorry. Save the BS apologies. The truth just came out, and you two aren't the only one. So Jamal Adams not buying her Jordan Cornette. Again, our Jordan Cornette will play basketball at Notre Dame, and, you know, an athlete here, because we're talking in the sports world, and Jamal Adams saying he's not buying it from Jake Fromm and not buying it from Drew Brees.
Yeah, I guess my question would be, you know, you hear Jake's apology here, although I never meant to imply that I am, quote, an elite white person as stated. There's no excuse for that word choice and sentiment. Then what did you mean? I mean, that's the first question. I mean, what did you mean? Yeah. Okay, so there it is. Tell me what you meant.
We knew what he meant. Make it expensive, elite white people. Like, all the insinuations are there.
They're
on
there.
The
Absolutely right.
On the superiority that comes with that. And so that's an issue if you're feeling that way behind closed doors. Now, again, on the weird scale of can we fire someone for this, it wasn't something that was laden with racial slurs. But the idea in there is similar enough to go, all right, this person's got some work to do. And again, it's a reminder that all these public statements and all the stuff that we see out in public is great, but though, like, thought processes like that. And he might think it was something little and might think it was a joke and something between friends. And that's great. But like, those are the things that more and more people say, like, that's like the day to day stuff. Those are day to day habits. So in my mind, it's all right. The things that we do repeatedly are the biggest areas where we can make some progress. And so if you see that, and especially something like this, like, that's gotta shudder you a little bit to have a conversation like that, that you thought was happening in private and text message, all of a sudden pop up like this and show people a little bit of the true colors. It's, all right, this is a humbling moment. What do you do with it?
Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive. So we had an apology about protesting, an apology about a racial thing, talking about, you know, elite white people.
Right.
And an apology in college from a head coach in a team meeting at Florida State and Mike Norvell to his team about what happened. For those that may not know what went on there, Mike Norvell, the new coach at Florida State, had said in an article that he had reached out to all his players and has had dialogue with all of them back and forth about what happened to George Floyd and if they had any questions or issues that, you know, to continue the conversation. And Marvin Wilson, the best player on that team and the guy that's number 8 on Mel's draft board, the top interior defensive lineman in this draft coming out, he came out on Instagram yesterday saying, hey, what Norvell said is all BS. He did not reach out individually, sent a mass email out, and if anybody wanted to come back and talk, they could. But this wasn't an individual one-on-one thing. It was a mass email. Basically said, dude, don't try and sell what you did when it's not really what you did. Norvell yesterday, actually, when he was during our show, they had a team meeting.
Yeah.
And out of that team meeting, Marvin Wilson again then posted another Instagram and said they accepted Norvell's apology and that the matter is settled at this point. And even Norvell said, listen, there were some words in there I used that made it sound like I talked individually to everyone and that was a mistake by me.
Yeah, basically, what Norvell said is he sent out that mass text and he did have a lot of conversations with a lot of players, but he said he spoke to everybody. And that was a thing that Wilson said that did not happen.
And now it is super interesting. And Marvin Wilson came out and, man, if you want someone speaking on behalf of your cause, I assure you it's Marvin Wilson.
Yes.
This video was a lot of fun to watch. This dude's a hell of a personality. But the one thing he said and the one thing that came out of this was, we're going to be doing things around the area in Tallahassee to help with some of these issues, things that were important to them. He mentioned some, being able to help out in education around there, mentioned a lot of the schools there, especially the public schools operating below the poverty line and doing other things. And he mentioned kind of a three-pronged approach to what they were going to do now as a team. And so it's interesting to see what came out of it. What went into it is also an interesting look. Clint Yates was on Around the Horn yesterday and talked about Mike Norvell as a new head coach and why maybe this wasn't the only thing in this situation.
Let's not forget who coached the Florida State Seminoles last year. That would be a black man by the name of Willie Taggart who got fired. Don't think that doesn't affect things at the top. And also, you don't refuse to work out because of one mix-up with text messages. This guy was a part of a staff back at ASU that would do things like not allow players to wear hats and earrings in the facility, which you can read for yourself what that means. I gotta believe this was a little more than just that as to why Martin so diplomatically addressed it as well as moved on. Good play out of that young man.
Look, I can't do that, right? I'm not going to assume that there was something else. Is it possible? But until I know, I'm not going to say there has to be something else.
It's certainly possible, but I know we were all talking about it before the show. It is such an issue right now and a raw issue that I could see something like this. Wait a minute. This guy said He reached out to every person individually and talked to everybody about something that there are protests going on all over the country for. No, I'm not playing that. I could see one issue because everybody is so raw with this situation as causing a reaction like we got from Marvin Wilson.
Yeah, I think coaching changes are an interesting time with all this also.
Remember, these are none of the players that recruited.
But we remember hearing, especially Marvin Wilson, a lot of these people were big fans of Mike Norvell coming in here. And part of the reason Marvin came back was because the idea of playing for Mike Norvell was something that was supposedly appealing in this situation. But I do think as we start to look at more and more of this, just seeing everyone's kind of mental and emotional state right now.
And
the understanding that college football players, Marvin is looking out and seeing other college athletes use their voice now. He's seeing more professionals speak up, and he's looking at this and saying, why not me? And when you look at what came out of it, it's one of those situations where I go, all right, well, and look what it accomplished now. Look what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, good for him, and good for him for using that platform. And you're right, that video is absolutely amazing on his Instagram. Coming up, is the biggest test for college athletes the one they'll take immediately upon returning to campus? We'll get to that next. Stay with us.